You are listening to episode number 292 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Now, 3 hours long without intermission.
Woohoo! Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago and it's gone right to my head. Wherever I may roam, on land or sea or foam, you can always hear me sing this song. Show me the way to go home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the latest episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, where we discuss all things Marvel, including comic books, TV, movies, video games, etc., etc. As I said, this episode number 292, and we are running at 3+ hours without a break. So if you need to go to the bathroom, you're too late. You're chained to your seat now, or wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. So suck it up and deal with it. I am your inglorious host, Bri, sometimes known as News Boy or News Bitch, depending on who you ask. Most of the people here will go by the second one, but I respectfully disagree. Joining me all the way from the land of Oklahoma, which I still don't know where that is. Hazer, have we found out where Oklahoma is on like a map yet? Or
yeah, it's around Nova Scotia.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Canadian kiss my ass, motherfucker.
Hey, it's John. John, welcome back to the show.
Why, hello. How's everybody doing over there?
Oh, we're just doing fantastic. It was raining and thundering and lightning and windy all day today up where I was at. I'm not sure about Taser. I think he got the same thing.
We just got a little bit. We didn't get much.
All right, fair enough. And hey, Taser's here. Taser, welcome back to the show.
What the hell? Who's this? Why am I naked?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Oh, I remember. Good. Somebody got his chains off of me.
You know, that's what you get for trusting those women of the night, man. You know, you get nothing but pain.
But you get
nothing
cheaper
but pain
rates.
And sadness in exchange.
But you get cheaper rates.
Fair enough. I guess I can't dispute it. It's dollars and cents, really.
Yes, dollars and cents.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Where that roll of quarters went, nobody knows. But we are here to not talk about that and talk about all things Marvel related. In the meantime, Jesus, what the hell happened? We are recording this. What's today's date? Today's April 15th, which means
tax day.
We are. Yeah. We're less than 2 weeks away now, folks. The end game is upon us. Next time you hear our voices after this, we will be discussing that sweet, sweet capstone to the event, to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. yeah, that should be an interesting show because it's going to be a lot of build up and payoff for we don't know what yet, but hopefully it'll be worth the wait. I don't know. We'll see. I can anything really this long in the making be worth all that hype and build and stuff? I mean,
yes.
I don't know.
Return to the
okay,
King.
Fair. That's a pretty simple answer. I can dig
Back
that.
To the Future 3. Return to the Jedi.
Hey, fair. I guess I can't.
And I would just like to say, since this is the last chance we'll have to talk to our listeners, before the movie comes out, don't bring the little ones. Do not bring the babies.
But Captain America's his favorite. He loves watching him throw the shield around.
I'm bringing my teenage kids, so I don't give a shit.
Teenage kids, if your child is under whatever and cannot sit still for a movie, do not bring them to this movie. Why? Because you will probably have somebody like Ben who will complain and then get the ushers and the people to come and toss you up behind.
Hey, now, Ben is off fighting for the civil rights of his people, going all like Billy Jack on them motherfuckers up in Washington, D.C., trying to get some.
He's fighting the Irish. I understand that.
If he complains in the theater, ICE will come down and just deport him.
Living in America.
Go, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you look like the lead actor from Super Troopers. Okay.
Hey, are you the funny guy from Ant-Man who goes on the long speeches? Give us a speech.
Look, now, if he starts chugging syrup, then I'm going to be worried.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God. Do not be kind to your fellow fan people.
Hell yeah.
Okay, be kind.
Brotherly and sisterly love.
There you go.
You know?
Oh, yes.
Not that kind of love. But with Endgame drawing down upon us, even though the shape of what's to come for the Marvel Cinematic in the theater is a little uncertain, what is in store for the Marvel Cinematic on streaming is a little more clear. Because recently, at a big investors meeting for Disney, they formally announced the launch of Disney Plus and gave concrete details. Disney Plus, their exclusive streaming app, will launch on November 12th of 2019.
Yay!
It'll be $6.99 US dollars per month. Or you can purchase the annual membership for $69.99. Nice.
$69.
That's Taser's favorite number.
Yes.
Yeah. There was also some news that there may be a discount for bundling it with Hulu or ESPN Plus, the latter of which Disney outright owns as well. So you may get some discount there. But the Disney Plus app will include all streaming content from Disney, Disney proper, that is their animation studios, also is their Disney Channel, Pixar Studios, all Lucasfilm properties, all Nat Geo properties. Weird enough, I didn't even know they owned that Nat Geo, but
same
you know,
here.
Guess I shouldn't be surprised. Fun. Yeah. Oh, that would make sense. And also, hey, Marvel would be included in that bundle. Go figure.
Also, all 30 seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
That's...
Whoa! Hold it. Fox owns that.
Disney owns Fox.
Shit.
Lisa Simpson is now a Disney princess.
Oh my, I completely forgot.
You forget how much Disney actually owns until you're confronted by it. Then you're like,
wait, hold on. I thought that Disney only took control of Fox's movie retinue. I didn't think.
No, Fox sold off everything except their sports and their news. Everything else went to Disney, all their properties. Including Malcolm in the Middle, which will also be available on Disney Plus for streaming, all seasons of that. Malcolm in the Middle is now a Disney show.
Malcolm, so. I'm the one that
So you're telling me that Meg Griffin is now a Disney princess?
Yep.
No, wait a minute. Stewie is now a Disney princess.
Yep.
Yep.
And Brian Griffin is the funny animal companion. He's
and,
a sidekick now.
Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show is now a Disney princess.
Well, that
The alien, the hive queen from the Alien franchise is now a Disney princess. Yeah, yeah.
No,
so.
Wouldn't she be still a queen?
I guess. Yeah.
Now Ripley, on the other hand. Disney
Believe
princess.
It or not.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey. Anyway, we're getting carried away. But suffice to say, there will be sufficient content to come, and everyone's going to be – this will probably be the one that finally kills not kills Netflix, but severely hobbles it. So we're going to see how that goes. But all that being said – they did announce some programs that will be available on Disney Plus streaming.
Yay!
And I'm going to go down the bullet list of those right now. So join me, won't you? Starting things off will be Falcon and the Winter Soldier, starring Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie. It will be managed by Jack Schaefer. That'll be the showrunner. She was the screenwriter for the Captain Marvel movie. So whether or not you like that may be an indicator of what you think about that. But they're getting like a buddy cop action team up series, which should be fun. So we'll also be getting, and this is the real name, WandaVision, which is the Scarlet Witch and the Vision, played by Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, respectively.
We'll be getting their own series. Please tell me it's not a rom-com.
They haven't really released any details about that one yet, strangely enough, but it will include them together as a pairing. Mm. So whether or not that results in a rom-com type scenario remains to be seen. Loki, simple enough. It'll star Tom Hiddleston as the titular trickster. What?
No desire. None. That just no.
Okay.
I mean, more power to anybody else who does. It's just, that is not for me.
All right, well, hang on to your pants because we're only about halfway down the list. So
it's Hiddlepin. Come on.
Yeah. Hawkeye will be getting his own series starring Jeremy Renner, which will also introduce and expand upon Kate Bishop as the next Hawkeye as well. They're going to work on working her into the Marvel Cinematic. So, you know, whether or not that's his daughter, like the female they showed in the trailer for Endgame, which is something Taser probably missed out on because he's been dying himself, that sort of thing. That remains to be seen, but that is what they're working into the series. So how that will come about, I don't know. But I always thought Jeremy Renner was an underrated action guy, even when they tried to get him to reboot the Bourne series back in the day.
I actually liked that film, so I'm looking forward to it.
So did I.
He was pretty good in The Town.
He was really good in The Town. Yeah, he was. Okay. What If is going to be an animated series with different installments working off of different premises. The first premise of which will be, what if Peggy Carter had become the super soldier and Steve Rogers was not? And they've already said that Steve Rogers instead will become the pilot for an iron suit built by Howard Stark during the war effort known as Iron Man. So that should be...
so it's going to be more like the late 90s, early 2000s version.
Hey, yeah. Man, it's What If and it's animated, so they can get away with a lot more than they could with any of the live-action stuff. So, they're also going to be launching two other working properties right now. The first one is called Marvel's Hero Project, which is a real-life look at inspiring young heroes making a difference in their community, blah, blah, blah. Feel good shit.
Yeah.
Also, this one's just a working title. It's called Marvel's 616. It's going to be an anthology. Thank you. Anthology. I don't know why I couldn't get that fucking word out. It's going to be an anthology documentary series looking at the stories, characters, and creators through the lens of diverse group of filmmakers. So it's going to be a different filmmaker every time. Almost like a 30 for 30, I would imagine, type thing from ESPN. That makes sense because they're owned by the same company now. But, so as of now, that is all the content in the works right now for the Marvel Disney Plus streaming app. So, I guess, John, since Taser kind of chimed in here and there, why don't you kind of give your list of your idea of what you're really kind of excited for versus what you're not?
I'm looking forward to the fact that, because I know that a lot of people are like, oh, Disney shouldn't do that, and I'm like, the reason why Disney did it was so they could bolster their streaming service, because otherwise it'd be just Disney and Marvel.
Yeah.
You got to have that bottom effort there, because Fox had a lot of stuff there. It also means that they can now show the original unaltered Star Wars trilogy. No special edition, none of that. Just the regular, variations that were seen a long time ago, and that'll excite a lot of fanboys. I'm kind of looking forward to it just because the Hawkeye one.
Yes.
If I do it right, holy shit, I'm looking forward to that one.
Hell yeah, I'm with you on that one. I love Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye.
And WandaVision, if they change the title a little bit, I might actually like it. Especially if they do it where they show them when they were doing their illicit, running Ooh. Around the world before Infinity War started.
Their hidden romance. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And other than that, I'm not really, I don't know. I like Falcon and Winter Soldier. I just don't know if I see them as, buddy cop type things. We'll see.
Right.
Depends on the material. The actors themselves will make it fun to watch, but still. Loki, I'm like Taser, although I'm not as eye-rollingly, bad about it, not interested, but it also depends on what they decide to do with it. We'll just, until we see more stuff, you can't really say anything other than it's Hiddlepin. Oh, Hiddlepants, is it going to be, whatever.
Man, you really got a hard on for not liking Hiddleston, don't you?
Oh, no, it's not that I don't like him. It's just I get tired of all the, it's called the David Tennant syndrome. You get the certain actor and the women or whoever just go, oh, baby.
Yeah, you got to get like a Jessica Jones type thing to fix that, and even then you got to apologize.
Even then, it was like, nope, still like him, but just that, and the fact that they're going to do What If, oh boy, if they do it anything remotely like they could do, I got a few stories I would suggest to them, and I would just love to see the outrage coming out from people going, what?
And actually, putting a pin in that right there for just a moment, John, I just want to lay it out for the folks at home. I asked a question a couple of weeks ago when this was announced, or rather when What If kind of surfaced as a rumor. What If issue specifically we would like to see transformed into animated adaptions for the TV show? And John, since you so wonderfully set us up, why don't you go ahead and tell us a few of the issues you would like to see transmuted into What If?
The one that I voted is probably my number one issue of, reading of all time we did a few years ago in our trip to the 200th mm-hmm. episode. What if the Hulk had gone berserk? I want to see that in animated form, just because, just to see, Ben Grimm get his neck snapped, Tony Stark getting, dying of a heart attack after getting crushed, like a cheap tin can, that kind of thing. And just to see, and just, I would also would love to see what if, you know, now that Marvel has the publishing rights for Conan again, what if Conan had met Thor, or what if Wolverine had met Conan? You know,
that'd be cool. That would what be if cool. Conan was in the modern day? They do that issue
again. Oh God, that, like, there's so many of them. I mean, what if Wolverine became Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Mm. What if Daredevil became Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? There are so many of those solid issues that they did, you know, or what if Hulk killed Wolverine? Or, I mean, what if Wolverine had killed the Hulk from the original run? That, there's just so many they can do. I mean, there'll be some that people will be like, wait, what? You know, and then you'd have to go, well, in 1919 something, during this annual story that they did, you know,
people
became the brides of Set and yada, yada, you know, just, but those are the ones I would like to see. I would really like to see what if the Hulk had gone berserk, just to see if they would actually go.
That's like top of your list as far as like what you would love to see.
What if the Fantastic Four had not gained their powers? Probably one of my personal favorite what ifs that was written and drawn by the man, the legend, the myth himself, John motherfucking Byrne.
Whoop.
So shout out to him.
Fair enough. Taser, you're old school like John. What's on your list that you would like to see transformed from comic book into animated adaptation?
Well, there was the one that you and I discussed after the show that I had gotten some of the details mixed up on. The what if Spider-Man and Wolverine worked together or whatever the fuck that was?
Yeah.
I was wrong because Black Widow was in it, but he didn't end up with Black Widow. He ended up with this blonde chick that looked like Gwen Stacy, which made a whole lot of sense.
But that
was the one where Spider-Man ended up being trained by this man to use his powers. He was trained in how to use his powers.
Yes.
Oh!
So much so that, like, his Spidey sense became, like, precognition.
Yes.
And he became a much more violent individual, too.
He had the gun and the web shooter. You know, that thing. The tingles. And he had that, what was it? It was a red and ash gray Spider-Man that looked. That was
it was like a gray black type thing.
Yeah, it was really nice. You know, that was a tight outfit. But,
I wanted them to import that into the Spider-Man video game on PS4. I wanted that to be one of the alternate costumes.
I thought that they had. But, they didn't?
No, they didn't.
Ah, that sucks. Damn it.
Maybe they're trying to save some stuff for the second game because they're already working on that. But even still,
fair enough.
But regardless, yes.
But there was, of course, you know, the one that I absolutely love the most, and that was Volume 1, Issue Number 32. What if the Avengers had become the pawns of Kovac?
Oh.
Be prepared to go blank.
Go blank. Just firing blanks all over the room.
Ultimate nullifier.
Yeah. Suffice to say that most people might not know who Korvac is, but Korvac was a problem.
He has a saga named after him, for God's sake.
We're talking 30-some-odd years ago. But be that as it may, suffice to say, this man had the ability to change reality. And the Avengers, when they fought him, most of them died, but Korvac, through stuff and happenstance and emotions, ends up committing suicide. In this story, it doesn't happen. And Korvac lives, brings the Avengers back as, you know, thralls, and then goes on to take over the planet and make it so that, don't come here, don't fuck with us, we'll leave you alone. Now, the interstellar powers that be, like the Kree and whoever, they go, hey, this isn't working for us. And they decide that they want to get involved, and they don't survive. And then even the Cosmics get involved. And a lot of them have problems, so much so that Korvac takes the Ultimate Nullifier. And the Ultimate Nullifier completely erases what its target is, no matter what it is, as long as the user has a complete comprehension of the subject. Okay? So Korvac uses the ultimate nullifier on his universe. And
this is after the Living Tribunal seals off the universe.
Yeah, he went, no. Yeah. This isn't spreading anywhere. No. And understand that the What If series was our Uatu looking back over all these other diverging, Earths, and he was scared that actually happened, because you see everything just go white. It was gone.
And Eternity screamed.
Yes. Yeah. Eternity! That one panel was like horrifying, But this is a really serious and dark issue, for even considering it's Marvel and it's a What If, this is a dark fucking issue. Some of the others I wouldn't mind would be What If Captain America had survived that plane falling, crashing thing back in World War II? What if Cap became president? And what if Doctor Strange was a disciple of Dormammu?
Oh, interesting.
Yes, because that one gets kind of dark too. But it suffice to say, Strange kind of ends up where he needs to be, but he takes a long, long roundabout pathway involving death to get there. So it's different. And issue 22, what if Dr. Doom had become a hero?
Interesting.
That's a very interesting one. I only kind of sort of remember that one, because I remember it as the subject. I don't remember the details. But, I mean, simply to see that animated and see how it plays out, because I don't doubt for a second that anything that they animate is going to be cleaned up. I mean,
right.
You know.
What if the Punisher had become Venom?
Ooh.
That one. That was a good story.
That's not a bad one. Yes, it was.
Now,
that was
see,
volume
I'm with
two,
you.
If I remember correctly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was volume two, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That could be a good one.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on the Spider-Man. What if Spider-Man versus Wolverine is a specific issue? It's, if they actually went with that, where you just have Wolverine and a much more violent Spider-Man just tearing it up against, like, all these classic 80s Russian bad guys, that would be too dope. Oh, my God. And a couple other ones I would like to see. There's the classic stuff. Obviously, one of my favorite ones from back in the day is, What If Elektra Had Lived, which is Frank Miller taking his stab at that, pun not intended, showing what would happen if she'd lived. And, that's all good. I really enjoyed there was a run back in 2006 that took characters and put them in like different time periods and stuff like that. He had Captain America in the Civil War, the Fantastic Four were Russian cosmonauts to back during the space race and all that stuff. And you had Daredevil, who was like a Ronin in feudal Japan. And, you had all that kind of cool stuff. And I think that was actually one where Jason Aaron and Michael Avon Oeming, where what if Thor was a herald of Galactus in order to save Asgard, which is pretty dope. Yeah, that was a good one. And they go like full on, like real Rainbow Bridge, like cartoony looking Asgardians. It's pretty great. But the number one issue I would probably have to put forth, and really more just for the spectacle of it all, was back in 2008, I looked it up, there was a run of What Ifs based around different events, and one of them culminated around the classic event of Secret Wars, and it was, what if Doctor Doom had kept the powers of the Beyonder rather than relinquish them or have them taken away or what have you? And that whole thing was fucking crazy, because basically what you have is, you have all these heroes coming back from Secret Wars, and Doctor Doom is basically this godlike entity, and he proceeds to make the world a better place you know, at the expense of certain people. He does one thing where Tony Stark continues to fight Doom, you know, because Doom is proceeding to make the world a better place, and none of the heroes quite buy it, as you do. And they try to stop him, and Tony keeps fucking with him, and he's finally like, you're a danger because of how smart you are, so I'm permanently adjusting your blood alcohol content to like 2 point something, so he can never be coherent again. And he just leaves him there, and he's just like, I can't have you fucking with me, so this is your blood alcohol content now permanently, you're done. And he leaves, and you know, he killed Reed, he killed Johnny, he killed Ben, he left Sue because she was pregnant with Franklin, she was still alive, and she actually ends up being the one trying to organize the resistance. But the real trick of the issue is nothing works. He gets rid of everybody, and then what he ends up doing is, while he's making Earth a better place, he goes out and he annihilates every other major race. There's a scene where he's literally staring down the Celestial Army, and he is just glowing with this power, and he takes this fight to them, and he completely just annihilates every other race he can get his hands on. Yes. Like, he just carves a bloody swath across the galaxy.
Yonder was a fuck. I mean, yeah, it's just like slap.
Yeah, and it ends with him coming back to Earth after having conquered all these races, and they go down the list. The Badoom, the Technarchy, or whatever the one is that Warlock is from the New Mutants, that race in particular. The Kree, the Shi'ar, the Skrull. He goes through and he just wastes all of them. Like, he. And could you imagine seeing that in fully animated glory, just him with all this cosmic power just taking it to these races? That, to me, is what this series should be, or what it should aim to be, just showing you something you've never seen before. And plus, what better primer for when you inevitably introduce Doctor Doom into the Marvel Cinematic Universe than showing this dude who is smarter than everybody else and who already is as powerful, but then you give him the powers of a god, and that is just... Oh, my nipples are hard right now. Okay.
You know what would be a good fight?
Yeah, what's up?
Having Doom with the Beyonder power versus Korvac.
Ooh.
Issue 32. That Korvac holding the ultimate nullifier at that moment. That fight would be scary. But there's also the last issue from Volume 1, what if Loki had discovered the Hammer of Thor?
Oh, yes. I think they've actually said they're doing that one, believe it or not.
Oh, that's going to be actually fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've confirmed they're doing that, which Kevin Feige, I think, had to, like, clarify. Like, I know he did find it in the first Thor movie, but, like, he finds it here, and he, like, can, you know, he really finds it, if you know what I mean, you know. So that one, I'm pretty sure, is also coming down the pipe, but I don't know when they'll do that one, but yeah, so there's that.
Damn.
Ooh. But yeah, so there's sure to be some good stuff, and actually, we could go on with this forever, actually, so I should really put a pin in it, but the New Mutants becoming Asgardians would also be super fucking dope, just throwing that out there. I think that was done back in the day. I forget what run. Anyway.
Well, it was all the X-Men. What if all the X-Men, if they'd stayed in Asgard?
That was it. Thank you. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Rogue
gets
happily married to, you know, the dashing guy.
Fandral the dashing.
Has kids with him. The Storm and Thor are both the gods of thunder and, you know, that kind of thing. So it works.
Well, you know what? I just want to say this. If any of this sounds really interesting, I believe Marvel's collected these into some numerous editions or whatever.
Mm. Or, you know, try the True Believer line, because I know there's a couple of some of the what-ifs are the part of the True Believer $1 line.
Okay.
Like, what if the symbiont had possessed Spider-Man and that kind of thing.
Right. The what-if... as a suppositional to, like, that thing in the back of your head that goes, hey, I wonder what if this would happen, which is totally what it is. It's totally worth investing in like, one or two of them. Just, I mean, you can look on the back or look on the inside and see what, you know, what various stories they are. But these are some excellent stories. You know, they're totally out of continuity. You don't have to worry about something fitting into, like, a Captain America or Spider-Man or whoever book. These are, for the most part, totally self-contained issues that you can just read and enjoy and then run off further speculation. You know? I fully endorse any effort to go to log into Amazon or go to your local comic book store and see if they have any, you know, any of these in collected form. Because What If was really a really
it's good one of the most fun parts of Marvel, honestly.
It is. Mm-hmm. Not even was, it is. Seriously.
Yeah, it's. I still look forward to it. And on that matter, there was a fantastic recent issue done by Leah Williams where What If Magic was an apprentice to Doctor Strange to become the Sorceress Supreme. That shit's fucking dope. That's another one I would pay to see.
Or so, What If Spider-Man Became the Punisher? That one was kind
of
cool.
I didn't get to read that one. They sold out of it. I never got another print of it, so that one slipped my notice. But was it good? Was it solid?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty good.
All right.
Odd, but good.
Yeah, odd was kind of the theme of the last run of issues. There were some weird ones, like the X-Men where they're all like cyber avatars or something like that. And it's like, I get it, but also no. But and then there was Ghost Rider was like a heavy metal guitarist or something like that, or was like a metalhead or something shit like that. And it was weird. It went places. Okay. But keeping on the tone of comics, you know, because I guess, or actually, before we get on, Taser, any last minute thoughts on anything Disney Plus related? Or are you all good there?
I'm good.
All right, fair enough. Moving right along, we're going to move into some quick, some brief details about Jonathan Hickman's next event regarding the X-Men, which is House of X and Powers of X, which are due out in July. And I bring this up in part because I just wanted, I wanted to go over it because it is an event, and even though events are fucking fatiguing and, like, do we really need this? I'm a huge Hickman fan, and I do have a soft spot for him, and, you know, I think this event could be fun, especially considering some of the key art they shared in leading up to the event, because he teased the first details of it recently. I'm going to share the first two cover images for House of X and Powers of X in the chat with you guys. And the reason why I'm sharing those is because I just wanted to confirm something when I go through it, but to kick things off, Jonathan has said about the event, House of X will see Charles Xavier unveil his master plan for mutant kind, one that will bring mutants out of the shadow and of mankind and into the light once more. Powers of X, meanwhile, will pull back the curtain on the secret past, present, and future of mutant kind, changing the way you look at every X-Men story before and after. So, you know, typical event buildup. I doubt it'll have any lasting impact. I say that, and maybe that's just me being cynical. But this is the first big event he was invited back for, and he's back at Marvel now. So that being said, in the key art, we got on House of X, the one with the team of X-Men coming through the what looks like a broken wall or whatever. Now, I posed this question earlier. Does that look like Ultimate Reed Richards to you, the maker? Uh-huh. Or is that just me?
I thought it was Ant-Man.
No, I legitimately thought it was the maker as well, and I was like, I hope to God it's not.
It
better be Professor X.
No, I mean, didn't he survive Secret Wars though?
He did. Yeah, he's been in the 616 for a period of time now. He was messing around with the AIM Avengers or whatever the hell that thing was.
Us Avengers.
Know. Yeah, whatever. But he was kind of their bad guy for a while, and he was getting around. And I know Hickman has a spot for him because Hickman included him back when he was doing New Avengers. Shit, well, wasn't that Avengers? Or did...
I don't remember him being in New Avengers.
All right, maybe that's just me imagining it, but I know he was in Secret Wars. Hickman went out of his way to include him in Secret Wars and make him part of the cabal there. So that was intriguing, but. I'm interested, if for nothing else, in seeing if the maker actually does play a role, because they left that artwork permanently ambiguous. I mean, I don't think it does look like Charles Xavier, really, but, you know, regardless of that, you got Magneto all dressed in white, you got Marvel Girl Jean Grey, like classic Marvel Girl, like from back in the 60s, and...
So is she another time-lost Marvel Girl, or did Jean Grey come back again?
Even if it is another time-lost one, this one looks like she skipped all the pretense and is just a raging bitch, if you just look at her face. She looks like she's ready to just...
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I know. And then
Wolverine
over
in his classic brown.
Who's that in the background? Jungle Man?
Cyclops. No, that's Cyclops.
Oh, that's Cyclops?
Yeah, dude. Oh,
okay. All right.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too, which is that people have been speculating about this, which is that Matt Rosenberg, a writer who's been handling the X-Men currently, he's doing Uncanny right now, has been busting his butt for basically the last 6 months working on X-Men and kind of resetting what we believe to be the status quo. This is not even like a year later, and apparently this is setting up a new status quo or attempting to. I really, that's the thing. This whole event is really kind of unclear in how it works in concert with the actual series happening as opposed to what Hickman's doing. So that's
big events. I hate them.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously, as you see in Powers of X, it looks like a female Colossus wielding the magic sword. And I think that's supposed to be Loki down there or something. I don't know. And
it looks like Kid Loki, but I don't think it is.
And a red-skinned Nightcrawler who looks more like his Azazel, actually. So maybe that's Azazel. Hell, I don't
know. Well, and then, like,
it
in the back,
like
you
could be a what
have,
if.
Like,
yeah,
actually,
it does,
that,
doesn't
that's
it?
Not a Colossus-looking chick. It's a... Just the way the guy, it looks like magic, only gone brunette.
No, she's got the costume, though, the red and yellow. That's classic. And it looks like her skin also has the metal overcoat.
Well, so it's just the way the sword is glowing.
Maybe.
And you got, it looks like,
go ahead.
Looks like Juggalicious in the back.
It looks like Nimrod.
Actually, yeah, I was thinking Nimrod. Well, who's that on the left, then?
What, the
Jolly? Jolly Xavier?
Charlie, and looks like Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, I think that's Kitty Pryde.
Gotta be Kitty.
Is that that's a female? Oh, in the middle, right.
But, yeah, like on the opposite, on the sword, on the two sides of the sword.
And then on the bottom, it looks like Moondragon or something. I have no clue. It'll probably wind up being his damn twin sister again.
Those actually, those kind of look like the what is it? Who are the kids from the fucking Reed Richards, Ultimate Reed Richards, like, disciples or whatever from the Ultimate Universe.
Okay. I the children.
I
think.
No clue.
What they call
the Children of Tomorrow. That's it. The Children of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Which was Reed Richards. You know, he evolved them inside of a chronal subspace where evolution took place over millions and millions of years inside of a confined
and
space.
And they still got their ass beat by the Avengers.
Well, they got their ass. Well, actually, first, they really fucked shit up because they nuked, like, the United States. And they actually, like, absorbed Yggdrasil and killed most of the Asgardians in the Ultimate Universe.
That's a surprise attack, though. But, you know, once the Avengers went in the attack, it's like, really? Really? You know, but... Anyway.
But anyway, Reed Richards, I think, ended up working with them in the end because I think he was helping them, like, save their universe from collapsing back when that whole shit was going down. Regardless, I mean, if this is actually the Ultimate Reed Richards, the maker, I would be so fucking stoked for that. I'd be in for it. If not, I'm significantly less, but I'm still intrigued because it's Jonathan Hickman, and I have a certain level of built-in excitement whenever Hickman's attached to a project. But if they actually manage to work in some of Reed Richards, Ultimate Reed Richards, and his villainy and all the shit he got up to in the Ultimate Universe, better believe I am front and center because he's just a fucking dope-ass villain. He's amazing. I love him as a villain.
You know what's the sad part, though? There's
what's
only
the sad
one,
part?
I think, two survivors from the Ultimate Universe, and that's him and Miles.
Yeah.
You know, that's so damn disappointing.
The Ultimate Universe is supposed to be back now.
What?
Supposedly, I think.
I'm going to go ahead and veto that we ever talk about that because, as far as I'm concerned, the Ultimate Universe is dead and buried. So let's just leave it at that.
Okay,
well.
Probably better left for all
for
things
this
considered.
Show, at least.
Yeah, maybe another. If it becomes a thing, we'll come back to it. John, you've made your opinions about events perfectly clear. So I'm just kind of pass over you on this one because I know you really don't care.
Pretty much.
Taser, any particular thoughts?
I've been caring for X-Men for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Because this is X-Men specific, I'm actually disappointed because, you know, Marvel goes to great lengths to kind of, you know, keep things in certain corrals. I'd rather they went back to the day when, oh, look, this actually takes place in the Marvel Universe and everybody's involved. You know, the upcoming Acts of Evil event that they got coming on. And I know you didn't post anything, but yeah, I want something like that. You know, this where it's just like, oh, something that affects the mutants. Yeah, that's not new. They've been doing this for like the last, 20 years?
Yeah, how long have they been feared and hated and threatened with extinction for?
Yeah, exactly. So I would really like to know exactly what Hickman is going to propose that's going to make everything new and different, because it won't. They're still going to be feared and hated, and will they end up with an asteroid this time? Or will they go back to having an island? Or maybe they'll go subterranean. Or maybe a different plane of existence, and they'll use teleporters to come in and fight Magneto or whoever runs the Brotherhood of Evil
or
whatever.
Or run in, or live in Central Park again.
There you go. You know, no, better yet, Westchester!
No, you know what? Fuck that. They were using Limbo for a little while. Let's go back to Limbo, everybody.
You know, hey, why not? We'll just hop on Ileana and freaking Kurt.
Hop on Ileana. Now we're talking.
You know,
hey,
we gotta go to the store.
Hey,
Kurt, come on over.
Sure, the teenager.
You know, I'm just saying. No, I don't know what this is supposed to do that hasn't been done umpteen times before. You know, it might use different characters to tell the story, and it's got new and not as old, but still kind of worst version of Jean ever. I don't know, man. I can't even say this is bad. It's just like I don't know what he's going to do that hasn't been done before, you know? Because nothing that they do with those stated goals ever remains the same, but it never changes. Mutants are always going to be feared and distrusted because that's the way they write it, you know? And I'm not saying that that's bad. It's just like, well, this is the way that they've been written since day one. So whenever you have these, you know, big promotional things because this writer is coming on board and he's going to do this, it's like, yeah, but they've been doing that since they, you know, nothing. What are they doing that's different? You know, so, I mean, aside from going, okay, we'll put his title at the writer or the artist or whatever at the top of the page, and maybe they'll sell a few more books.
Maybe we'll recycle Chris Claremont's run again for the 500th time.
So I don't know what to expect, and I don't know if there's anything to be, you know, desired or to look forward to. You know, it just sounds like buzzwords to just kind of make you go ooh and on. And but if you look back like 5 years, yeah, didn't they do that over there? And then 7 years ago, didn't they do that then too? So.
Or 40 years ago, they did it 500 times in that 1 year.
You know.
Yeah. Sorry, all right, fair enough. So.
Ugh, fucking mutants.
I know, John. You don't like the mutants and you don't like events, so this is like a perfect storm for you. But we are going to take a little more time to focus on mutant kind, because just one thing I kind of wanted to discuss with y'all. We had talked last time we did a regular show about the, Marvel or Disney rather takeover of Fox property being in effect. And that means that they effectively have all the X-Men in their cadre now, as well as other heroes like the Fantastic Four. Now, all that being said, Kevin Feige recently did an interview about Marvel Studios' plans for integrating the X-Men into the MCU, which is basically that there are no immediate plans. Kevin Feige said, quote, "It's all just beginning, and the five-year plan that we've been working on after Endgame, we were working on before any of that was set. So really, it's much more for us, less about specifics of when and where the X-Men will appear right now, and more just the comfort factor and how nice it is that they're back home. They're all back, but it will be a very long time." So at least for 5 years plus, for an undetermined amount of time, the X-Men will not be joining in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I kind of want to...
Deadpool will.
Well, Deadpool will probably stay in his own little R-rated pocket. But regardless of any of that, I wanted to open it up because there's been some discussion among people who are saying, well, that's disappointing. And then other people who are saying that, you know, that's all for the better because they want the X-Men, you know, as long as you have them in their own little pocket, maybe they could do their own little Marvel Cinematic Universe version of, you know, the X-Men universe, like what Fox did, but better, hopefully. Now, that being said, I'm going to pass it around. So, John, you go first. What is your opinion on if the X-Men should join the MCU, if so, when, or what that would look like.
Well, I'm going to call bullshit on him saying that they're not going to try to, you know, now within the next couple of years, I understand that because, you know, they just got it back and they're going to be doing the casting, everything else, see how they're going to want to do it, maybe throw some more cash to a certain individual to see if he might want to become old man Logan, that kind of thing. But to say that they're not going to have it within the next, you know, in some form or another, I call bullshit. I know damn well they're going to do some sort of deal with Deadpool, and you know they're going to have it to where they're going to have Deadpool gleefully, you know, mock everything of his new expanded universe in some form or another. I'm still saying there's going to be some sort of end credit scene on Endgame that's going to show something. You know, doesn't have to be a full-fledged whatever, but it's going to be something. But I will say that I'm glad that they're not going to try to rush it, and they're going to try to do it right because, you know, they look at what happened with the X-Men cinematic in general over at Fox, and they're going to realize what will work and what won't work. And I guarantee you they'll probably keep a couple of the actors, you know, in key roles just because they'll probably get some of them actually do a decent job. But otherwise, it's going to be a whole reboot, and they're going to figure out a way to incorporate them. And I will appreciate the long-term goal, but I also think they're going to at least do something in the relative short term because they're going to. They want to get some of that money made back, and they think that they can get their MCU people.
I don't mean to cut you off, John, but you're good. The way you're saying it just sounds really fucking cynical. And I don't mean to say it's not deserved, but it sounds just super fucking cynical.
Well, it's like when Disney bought the Star Wars property. Mm-hmm. By God, right off the bat, they immediately put production in for the current trilogy. You know, not waiting to go ahead and go, okay, we need to do this, this, and this. They were like, fuck it, we spent this much money, motherfucking money for it. We're going to get something out there.
Yeah. Remake the first movie.
I'm not completely original and awful. I'm not going to get into the specifics of that. Last Jedi rock, jackass, leave me alone. But whole other episode.
But
I know they're going to do something with the mutants in some form or another. Maybe try to, like I said, maybe throw a little of that mouse cash at, you know, a certain guy who swears up and down he would never do the claws again. Even just for a one-time movie, do like a variation of Old Man Logan, not like Logan, but, you know, something. Same with the Fantastic Four. They're not going to necessarily do Fantastic Four, you know, proper,
right,
so to speak, but they're going to have something with Doom or something just to show that they're in the MCU somewhere. And some matter of fact, that it's too much money that, I mean, I know Disney did not just to get the properties back, but they're going to be like, okay, we just forked over a shit ton of money. You know, let's get something rolling here.
Hmm.
They're going to do something. That's just how Disney's been, you know? I can't.
I know it
sounds cynical being.
If I may cut in briefly, I mean, I don't mean to cut. If you have any more thoughts to add, you know.
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm kind of circling myself, so go ahead.
All right, fair enough.
Doesn't sound right.
Avoiding, and because, like I said, it's not the whole cynical thing isn't well deserved. Like you said, not that I feel like the Star Wars movies have been particularly bad, but, you know, obviously when they said we're going to be churning out new ones every year, sometimes twice a year, and they kind of took a step back now, and they're like, maybe we'll dial that back just a little bit, you know, kind of catch our breath between installments. Why the hell not? You know, I like to think of it more less as, Disney wasn't prepared or they don't have anything planned. I like to think of it as a power move showing that, well, we don't need the fucking mutants in our universe. We've been doing this for over a decade without them and we're doing just fine. So why should we have to include them? And I do fully believe they will integrate them and bring them in at some point. I don't necessarily think they'll throw something out there quite like that because my thinking is, you know, rather than, and maybe this is contradictory to what they've said, but, you know, all this talk has been around, well, the X-Men aren't going to join, the X-Men aren't going to do this, the X-Men aren't going to do that. So much little has been said about the Fantastic Four properties they've also gotten back from Fox. Part of me thinks they might just focus on them being worked in for this next phase or two, and then working their way up to introducing the X, like a staggered type thing. And that could be a way that I could see, because I would love to see the Fantastic Four integrated before the X-Men.
I think so, too.
Because on top of that, with the X-Men, you still have Dark Phoenix coming out, and you still have New Mutants maybe to debut sometime. You know,
Disney
when
Plus for $6.99, yeah.
Oh, jeez, yeah, don't even get me fucking started on that. That is probably
Netflix original, only Disney Plus.
You couldn't have done it for Dark Phoenix, but you had to do it to the one that looked like it could be cool. Fuck you. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I still say that I want to see an in-game in-credit scene where you see T'Challa talking to somebody or talking to various other nations, and all you have to do is see the back seat of a chair. Mm. You see a gloved fist come down, pan up, and you see Doom in his proper armor look. Doesn't have to talk. Doesn't have to do anything else. Do like that. There you go. That way you can do. Yep, sure. We got him, folks.
But anyway, apart from that, like I said, I think it'll be a little bit of a power move, because I really don't think that. Here's the thing. Like, as much as I would love to see the X-Men, and as much as I will love to see them when they do inevitably join, I'm in the camp where, like, I really don't think they need the X-Men to succeed, because they've already jam-packed this universe full of so much stuff that you can just pick it apart for years and years and years. And, you know, I think it's more of, like, I appreciate what Kevin Feige is trying to do, because he has curated this Marvel cinematic universe over the course of so many years, and it's taking your time, and it's doing it right, or at least for the most part, trying to do it right. You know, there have been the rare hit and miss, but suffice to say that they plan every move very deliberately. So I take him at his word, but I really think that it might swing the other way, and this is kind of like, because the X-Men, like I said, have been getting all the press about, oh, when are the X-Men going to join? When's Wolverine going to show up? When's Spider-Man and Deadpool going to make out in their next movie? And blah, blah, blah. All that bullshit, you know, but I really do think it would be cool. And I think they may have an intention, because nothing has been said about the Fantastic Four. So if they go that route, that would be fucking cool, where, you know, you can do Doctor Doom and just like, oh yeah. Cause look, there's maybe three really, really, really bad dudes in Marvel. There's Thanos, there's Doctor Doom, Galactus, arguably based on the nature of who he is and what he does. And really, those are like the top tier guys.
Magneto.
So yes, but he's of the X-Men. So, you know.
We were talking Marvel Universe.
Fair enough.
You mentioned Marvel, so that's why.
Fair enough. But I was working in conjunction with the fact that they've said they're not going to do the mutants for a little while. So while that's, you know, and plus, I don't know. I feel like this would be a good opportunity to maybe distance yourself from Magneto, or even have him be like a character who's been off to the side, because you lose some of that. Oh, well, he was a World War, Holocaust survivor. And it's like, yeah, but how old would he be today if he was still a Holocaust survivor? You could almost make him like a revolutionary mythical figure to X-Men fat people running around today, and have him be like, you know, have him be like a revolutionary figure, like Malcolm X or, you know, something
like
that.
Like what Mystique was in Days of Future. In,
yeah, but done Apocalypse. Well and done good and done believably, you know. Taser, anything you want to add to this little discussion we got going on here? What is your take on the whole mutant entry into the Marvel Cinematic?
I don't care as much as some people.
All right.
While the movies that were done, I think I had issues with all of them, some more than others. In general, I think on the whole, I enjoyed them, you know? Would I make changes? Sure. But if and when they do get introed into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, cool. I'm not at that fanboy level. Why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening? I'm not there. I'm not. Like yourself and like John, I'd actually rather see them do something with the FF, because the FF haven't had the exposure and the
they
success.
Haven't had a good movie ever, except
no,
for
no.
the first two.
Okay, I won't argue.
Bits
that.
And pieces.
Oh no, there was the Roger Corman one from the 90s.
I tend to dispute that because, you know, it's in the same level as Italian Red Skull and Cap with rubber ears.
No, because that one had a thing in full-on costume. And he punched at the screen, and it was effective. Let's hear for practical effects. Anyway.
They did that in those other two Fantastic Four films. Chilkis, bring him back, damn it, for Ben Grimm.
But be that as it may, I would rather see the Fantastic Four get the push first. And not even, it doesn't have to be a major push. It could be something as simple as, and I'm not saying I hope they do it in Endgame, but let's say during the course of Endgame, when, let's say Steve is looking at something and, oh no, we don't have Tony here to be the all-around general big brain or Hulk. I know who to call, and he calls up Dr. Richards. You know, something like that. You know, that would be, oh, woo! You know, it would be nice. But if they take 5 years to introduce either the Muties or the Fantastic Four and everything connected with that, and it takes 5 years, you know, I don't believe for a second that they can't make that a shorter wait. Like John just said, I will call bullshit on that because all that is time and planning and getting the money together because you have to hire the actors, okay? Maybe they want to wait and see how things work out post-Endgame. I don't know. Maybe they're still figuring out ways that they could milk out the current MCU without having to dibble and dabble over in that. I don't know. And I don't know if we even know what the Marvel Universe is going to be like, what the movies are going to be like post-Endgame. I mean, do we?
I mean, yeah, Spider-Man Far From Home, we don't not sure if it's before or after.
Yeah, but yeah. That's the last
They've
one.
Been kind of purposely ambiguous as to what the shape... I mean, they're saying the Eternals may play a part in it, but that's really about it. So they're
yeah, right. Dang. They said the Inhumans were too, and... Yeah.
Okay, Eternals. We get it. We get it. You had Chipotle for dinner.
No,
okay?
But you know what the Eternals are? The Eternals were yet another Marvel attempt at coming up with something X-Men-y without it having all of that let's say, melodrama at being...
I was going to say mutant baggage?
Yes, actually mutant baggage, you know, fits it perfectly. And it didn't pan out, which is why the Eternals and the Inhumans got relegated to being every now and again they pop up books, you know, and characters and such like that. As a matter of fact, the last time they tried to run Eternals as a book was what, 2006? 2004 maybe?
They kind of tried working them in the OGNs that were going out not too long ago. Not the Starlin stuff, but they worked them in the Rage of Ultron, I think. He had targeted the Eternals before coming to Earth, and that was kind of the impetus for that. That was a separate thing. So
no, but okay, that was during Age of Ultron. But I mean, previous to that, they tried to put out another Eternals monthly, and that didn't work. You know. And if I remember correctly, well, I don't know why it didn't work specifically, but what I can surmise is that part of the problem is the Eternals are simply too damn powerful, you know, for you to run something. You're looking at a group of people who natively, even the weakest of them, could probably kick almost everybody's ass on almost every Avengers or Fantastic Four or even Mutant Team. You know, you're looking at people who have complete control of their body chemistry and density, you know, molecular powers, flight, various degrees of invulnerability. Don't get me wrong. I like my heroes to be powerful, and I don't have a problem with, like, oh, wow, they're all Superman. I don't have a problem with that at all. But the writing that has to go into creating a problem for people along these lines, most people aren't used to dealing with, especially given the propensity for them to write character stories, where we don't care about the problems they deal with, we care about how they feel, and what's going on in their lives, and whether they had milk with their toast, you know, because that's what they do nowadays.
But did they have milk with their toast? We gotta know.
They were all out of milk, so they went to Radu's and had coffee instead and sat there and talked for an entire fucking issue. Anyway.
And but, so moving on.
No, but I'm just saying, though, to get back to Fantastic Four, I'd rather see them in dealing with the X-Men and their stuff. If it takes 5 years, it takes 5 years. I'd rather see the Fantastic Four first. But if it takes 5 years to see either or, I'm fine with it. I side with John and say it's bullshit that it would take 5 years. It wouldn't. All that is, like I said, is time and money. And they could come up with that within a year, you know, and put something out there. Especially given, like I said, that we don't know what the fuck is coming at the Spider-Man Far From Home. I mean, there's nothing aside from Ant-Man
Dark
and the
Phoenix.
Wasp. No, I was going to say Ant-Man and the Wasp 3.
Hey, I'm looking forward to
that. And Black Panther 2, you know, that kind
of
shit.
Hey, same here. Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, exactly. So there's nothing that's been mentioned. And while I don't have a problem with them playing it close to the vest, you know, trying to figure shit out, whatever, as a matter of fact, I think the reason why they haven't said it is because they were probably looking to see how that Fox deal was going to plan out, then they could plan their move. You know? So, that's how I feel.
Because there's too many people that want to see merging.
Yeah. And I don't think you have to do a big deal about merging.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could just simply put these people in movies and then you just toss into this or toss into that. I don't think you have to make a big production about it. You know? I mean, they put Spider-Man in whatchamacallit, and while, yeah, everybody fucking jizzed all over the place, it's not like it was a, I don't know, I guess you could kind of, he got pulled in as a, holy shit, who the fuck is that? But it wasn't like, we've never heard of this Spider-Man before, oh my god, where is he? I mean, it wasn't like that. So I think they could probably do something similar with both the FF and the mutants, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. Well, all right, I guess we'll just have to wait and see because, like I said, the shape of what the next phase is going to be is really kind of ambiguous at this point, you know, which makes sense because Thanos as a unifying force wasn't even introduced until, you know, the proper Avengers movie, the first one. So we
and,
got some time.
Shang-Chi. That's another movie. Remember Widow movie. I forgot. Yeah.
They can also, that's how they can tie in some of the Netflix guys into MCU.
That won't happen.
I know, but, you know, still could be a way. Bring in Iron Fist and have him get his ass handed to him, even if he does have a Mystic Iron Fist. You know?
Wait a minute. How Iron Fist get beat up by Hawkeye?
It could happen.
No offense to the actor, but yeah.
I can legitimately see Shang-Chi beating Iron Fist in combat if he can make sure that the fist can't, you know.
And
that's a whole
if he
other
doesn't
episode.
Use the fist, though. If he uses the fist, then Shang-Chi's done for.
Oh, maybe. You know, unless he has that internal karate thing going.
All right. Moving on from the mutant talk.
We want to do the martial arts talk now. We want to do the martial arts talk.
No. We're getting way off topic here. And it's just, no. All right. So moving on, that's going to cap off the news for this week. You know, we'll have more to talk about as time goes by, but for now, that's it. We're going to move on into reviews. There is no unifying book of the week, to speak of the devil. There's no unifying threat. And Taser has refused to read anything recently, so he's kind of out of reviewing anything. Well, so instead, what you're going to have is John and I doing kind of a round-robin one. And since John has three books and I have two, John, I'm going to let you lead. We'll alternate back and forth one for one. All right?
I will. Fantastic Four, you know, like 7 and 8, finally they came out, and I can't believe they actually came out month after month for once instead of being delayed. I don't know what the hell is going on with Dan Slott with Iron Man and Fantastic Four. Drop Iron Man, just stick with Fantastic Four. Get back on your monthly. because damn it, Fantastic Four has been good.
Where else can you see
Doctor Doom holding the Fantastic Four under death penalty for invading Lavarian airspace while using Galactus as a power source for the country and possibly the world, and even possibly part of the universe, depending on what's going on. All I can say is that, you know, they had, you know, Doom's going through the cliche, you know, he's like, I know, Ben, for some reason, you are always the one that will always, you know, defies the odds and the reasonings, which is why if you try to break out of your cell, this is what's going to happen to Richards, this is what's going to happen to Johnny, and this is what's going to happen to Sue. You try to break out, they die due to various things that result from you, you know, your stubbornness and whatever. And he talks to Reed and Johnny, and then he tells Sue that don't worry, you know, as much as it pains me to have to have you killed due to breaking the law, I will make sure that Franklin and Valeria are under protection of, you know, Laveria and, you know, my protection.
Yep.
Which I was like, well, it's nice of you to bring back that, you know, he did have something involved with Valeria and stuff. But, and it is kind of nice to see this version of Doom not be 100%, you know, Richards. He's still trying to be, he is still trying to be a little bit of the good guy Doom, you know, that we'd seen the last few years. Although I think that's going to change from the way we saw the end of the issue. We see how something else has been going on with Franklin and that stupid cosmic entity that apparently now wants a piece of his hide for, you know, because he can create reality. It's doing something there. And then we see at the end of the issue, the Reed's like, you always underestimate us. You ready, guys? You know, pretty much they're like, yeah. And while Doom on international TV, and they had a couple of good gags in there too with that, but Sue uses her oft-forgotten ability that whatever she can make, you know, turn herself invisible, she can also turn other things invisible, starts to proceed to make Doom's armor invisible and showing off his scarred and disfigured body for the world. And at the end of it, you could just see him, you know, just like he's going to rage. So I think we're going to get the you know, traditional Doom back this next issue. But the way they did it, I was just like, oh, that's cold. Again, it's kind of hard to describe it. You just have to go pick it up. Fantastic Four has not been this, to me, has not been this good in quite some time. And I'm glad to see it. And nice to see Doom kind of get himself knocked back down a peg or two, because he always underestimates the Four. Always. Always underestimates Richards.
Yeah. It's his fatal flaw. His pride won't let him accept that it doesn't let him evaluate people, especially the Fantastic Four, in a way that takes them seriously, because he thinks he's just better, and that's always his Achilles heel.
I will say this, the run so far has been a 4 out of 5 for me. This one was 3.5 out of 5, because it brought back that stupid threat from the first couple issues. I was not a big fan of that one, but hey, however, we'll see how it does. And like I said, Dan Slott for me has been hot or cold, depending on what he writes. I, you know, like, obviously his long Spider-Man run did it. Right now, he's hot on Fantastic Four, and from the last time I saw Iron Man, fucking cold. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't think any of us saw this coming, as far as him being as successful as he's been on, you know, Fantastic Four. But suffice to say, I think we're all here for it and enjoying the hell out of it. So, you know, fun stuff. All right. So overall rating of the issue, sir, what would you give it out? How many Warriors out of 5?
I give the issue itself a 3.5 out of 5 due to the fact of bringing back in that subplot with Franklin, and that's, like I said. But overall, the series itself, as of right now, 4.5 out of 5.
Sometimes
sketchy art, kind of, you know, depending on what they're doing.
Sure, of course. All right, and I'll begin my first review. I'll keep it brief, but I'm reviewing War of the Realms, number 1. I was the idiot who bought it. Ha, ha, ha. Nah, but, So I went and I picked it up. I was curious about what the shape of the story is going to be. And suffice to say, it kicks off with a bit of a bang. It kicks off with the attempted assassination of Odin by some dark elves. His fate is left ambiguous, but he's severely stabbed multiple times by the elves, who kind of pull, the King of Svartalheim sends his regards type thing. They don't actually quote Game of Thrones verbatim, but it was a pretty nice little touch. Thor suddenly has Loki drop in front of him, bloodied and beaten, and Loki's like, the war is coming, Thor. The worlds will, die. The realms are going to collapse and all that stuff. And Thor is just like, nah, I don't buy into that shit. Take me to him. And Loki's like, no, you can't. And Thor's like, no, take me to him. And keep in mind, Thor is wielding like four hammers at this point, so I don't know what the hell's going on over in Thor, but he's got legit four hammers on him. So, good times.
Yeah. Loki takes... Overcompensating much?
For the fact that he's still...
Gotta overcompensate for the female, yeah.
Yeah, God. Anyway, takes him to Jotunheim. Loki takes him to Jotunheim, and turns out it's a trap because Loki was actually Malekith, and now Thor is surrounded by frost giants on all sides. And, Malekith tells him flat out, this is the end, and Thor says, nay to that, and he starts swinging. And then we cut back to Midgard in New York City, where Spider-Man happens upon a battle happening in the Bronx between Freya and some dark elves, which also includes Lady Sif leading a contingent of some Lady other Sif. Warriors. Yes, yes. And you get a brief little thing about halfway through where it goes through some of the other characters who are, getting ready for something. And it says, like, in the Sanctum Sanctorum, a crystal ball suddenly glows red hot and screams in a voice that sounds eerily human. Doctor Strange starts hastily casting spells. Daredevil's senses go haywire as he can just... Every extra dimensional thing that throws off his senses suddenly kicks in. Wolverine sitting in a bar, and all of a sudden his bones start to ache, and he orders another beer because he knows what's coming. And what? What? I thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was cool. What's wrong with that?
Keep going.
The Punisher's about to execute somebody, but he sees a flash of rainbow light, like, not too far from where he is. And then all of a sudden, everything comes pouring out of these portals, and the middle of New York City is just overcome by these beasts and trolls and fire creatures and frost giants, and literally everything comes pouring out. Oh my God. One of the funniest things I thought was that Frank Castle looks at a frost giant come out of the portal next to him, and the mobster who he has on his knees and he's about to kill execution style just like, holy crap, we're being invaded! Run for your life! And Frank shoots him. He goes, running's for somebody who's about to die. You're already dead. Just puts one right between his eyes and is like... And then Frank just says, I wish I'd brought a bigger gun.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Daredevil jumps into the fray and actually starts whipping around at some dark elves, but, he's still Daredevil. We've got frost giants peeping in through windows. He's looking specifically for Vikings to fight because he hasn't been on Earth since the days of Vikings. He's like, it sure has changed. I wonder where all the Vikings are, but, And... then, of course, the Avengers arrive. Iron Man and Captain Marvel land and start hacking people to bits. Black Panther starts chewing people out. And, they jump in with some other Asgardian warriors. Lady Freya leads the Asgardian contingent. And you got Thori, the dog, who is just so wonderful. In addition to that, you also have Malekith show up with kind of his vanguard. It looks like it's either Ulick or Curse, or maybe both of them. I actually can't tell based on this. But Enchantress is there, and Surtur is there, and Malekith is leading him on a winged fucking tiger. Hell yes. And he's given some big villain monologue, and, he's saying, like, the lords of the realms have come, and we're going to destroy you. And he just catches a shield to the face, and Cap's just like, yeah, well.
Nice.
It's just so fucking great. That, oh, my God.
That should have had, like, a shut up. word bubble pop up right next to it.
Well, here's the thing. Depending on your sensibilities, it was either really funny or really groan worthy. So I'm going to read it to you, basically the last bit of what he says. He says, "Surrender your realm peacefully, ye mortals and has-been gods, or we will pry it from your grubby little," and then he catches the shield to the face.
Whack.
And Cap leads in with, "You want these hands, Malekith?" And he gives the Avengers Assemble cry, and it all...
So we got Braun Strowman as Captain America. Great.
Yeah, man. Captain America's Captain Catch These Hands. Captain Catch These Hands. And, of course, Laufey shows up as well. And then the real Loki shows up to confront his father, and he just tells him that, you know, this isn't, you know... He shows up to save Freya, and then Laufey picks up Loki and literally fucking eats him, like, just snaps him in half like a chicken wing, just murders his own kid outright.
Well, he's not dead. We've seen Loki lose his head before.
Well, maybe so, but...
We've seen Loki get ripped in half by the Sentry. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
But the image of Laufey chewing Ares. His son would be, you know...
No, he also did it to...
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That was the Sentry who murdered Ares.
No, we're talking about how Loki got killed by the Sentry as well.
Okay,
fair enough.
Still, I feel like it's a more dramatic thing to have your own father fucking eat you, but regardless.
That sounds incestuous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Avengers continue to fight, but then as the issue ends, it comes back to, where the hell is Thor? And it cuts back to Jotunheim, and he is literally just wielding four hammers, smashing and grinding and beating down every frost giant that comes to him.
That sounds awesome.
And he's just screaming, you know, "The God of Thunder will be the doom of you all.
Yes.
Thor has enough hammers for all of you."
That
in
is Thor right there, man.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And he is just whipping around. And this issue has some really cool moments, but it's also marred by some of the weaker points. And listen, I love Jason Aaron. I love his writing. For the most part, I've been really enjoying all the stuff he's done, but I will be the first to admit he has some weak points in his writing here and there. And I don't know if it's just the fact that, like, he's been working on it for so long, because I imagine it's not unlike what happened with Dan Slott, where he was on the book for so long on Spider-Man and people thought he was great. And then as he just kept writing and kept writing, it got to be more and more like, oh, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Can he do this? Do that? Da, 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 da. I don't know. But the point is, I thought it was a solid first issue to an event comic. I don't think it was worth the price tag. It was $5.99 in the store. And, you know, I might wait for a collected edition, too, because you want to weed out all the unnecessary tie-in shit that's going to come inevitably with it. But suffice to say, I really enjoyed it. I give it a 3.5, 4, if I'm being generous, out of 5. I thought it was a legit fun read, and if you're into the Thor stuff that's been happening lately, I'd say give it a shot. So, John, I'm going to let you go back-to-back because I know I'm taking up your time. Try to do the next couple issues as best you can. You do your issues. You go.
Immortal Hulk, I'm like, you just, when you think they can't go any weirder or bizarre, yes, they do. Doc Samson's back. Betty Ross gets shot in the head, killed, and she comes back. Rick Jones apparently died. I don't know when, but he's
Secret Empire. That's why you don't remember it.
Dug himself out of a grave. Apparently, Thunderbolt Ross got buried and killed. I don't know when that happened, last saw him in Avengers.
So they killed off Red Hulk?
We don't know. We saw a funeral for him. Doesn't mean he won't come back, because of all the shit that went on in hell and stuff, all the gamma mutated people are now like the Hulk, and if it's nighttime and they get shot and killed or killed or whatever, they are immortal. They come back as their other personalities, which I'm having a feeling we're going to be seeing the Red She-Hulk here soon.
What about A-Bomb?
A-Bomb probably too. I don't know. But I will say this, they established that, yes, this version of the Hulk, the Devil Hulk, quote unquote, actually cares for Bruce. You know, he wants to protect him. Not because, you know, that it, 'cause he's like, I won't die, you know, if he dies. No, not that. But we also now find out that there is that the Devil Hulk himself, two things. he contains something even he tries to contain something back that's even more fearsome than him that likes to smash. So they're starting to write in the nice little thing where they can bring back Savage Hulk because, you know, everybody will be like, why can't the Hulk just be Hulk Smash? And then also, Hulk has decided that humanity needs to be wiped off the face of the planet.
Again?
Had their time. They need to be nuked. And if those who survive can survive, he'll let them leave them alone. That kind of thing. He tells this to Doc Samson. And I will give this just when I think the title can't get any better or weird, they pull it off. But it's starting to actually be more like a normal Hulk title now, finally, compared to what it first started. I mean, it's still got the horror in there, but oh man, it's been good. I'll give it a solid 5 out of 5 on that.
I co-sign that. It's been really good.
Also, then the Punisher, you know, he's still being. He was last time we saw him. He was being tortured and got the skull emblem carved into his chest by Baron Zemo. And been put in prison. Well, Frank engineers a breakout and to take over the prison. And all the while, Jigsaw's like, why don't you just kill him already? And Baron goes, I'm trying to create my own, you know, version of a super soldier, you know, for Hydra. I'm going to do it with Frank. And, you know, that not that Frank knows this, but it just, but Frank, you know, with some inmates, takes over a prison to escape and killing all the Hydra agents left and right. And, you know, typical Frank, you know, Frank Castle. All the while, the world in general thinks that he's dead because they hung a lookalike on public TV. And it just, I can't really describe it. It's kind of veering off from what I liked when they first started, where he was declaring war on Hydra and just being Punisher. But I also still like it. Overall, 4 out of 5, and then the current deals where he's in prison and stuff, probably about a 3.5 out of 5, because I'm just like, you really can't keep Frank down too long. He's going to wind up coming through and kicking the shit out of everybody. But by the same token, how are they going to do it where he doesn't, you know, off Baron Zemo? You know, but this will probably, I have this bad feeling this is where we're going to see the evil Steve Rogers pop back up, you know, Red Skull. But I don't know. And there you go. The three titles that I've been reading, Fantastic Four, Immortal Hulk, and Punisher, are the reasons why I still read Marvel. You know, because, and even Hulk Vereen, number one, was actually kind of enjoyable. Seeing the Immortal Hulk fighting Weapon H, and then Wolverine at the end of the issue popping up going, I hear somebody's been stealing my gimmick, and I'm wondering what the hell's going on. So now we're going to see Immortal Hulk and Wolverine fighting Weapon H, all the while that the leader was behind all this stuff to make the Hulk weak, you know, and try to kill off the Hulk. It just, glorious insanity, written by Greg Pak, good stuff, and the rest of Marvel can pretty much go bleep themselves until they can get their heads out of their ass with all this event shit. I'm done, I gotta go, and peace, y'all.
All right, fair enough. That is John signing off for the night.
He's running before they lock the doors.
You better believe it, buddy.
Have a good one, man.
Later, John.
Later.
Okay, and my final review for the evening will be a review of Symbiote Spider-Man number 1, which I think it's a miniseries. It's being written by Peter David, illustrated by Greg Land. So it's a plus and a minus in either column. But basically, this series examines Peter just after he's come back from Secret Wars and just after he got the symbiote costume. And Mysterio is the villain because Mysterio's hot right now and he's going to be the new villain for the new movie. So they want to do something with him. But basically, it's just a fun little aside for right now. There's some stuff with Mysterio, but as far as like the Peter Parker stuff goes, this is more an opportunity for Peter to be living his everyday life, and we get more build up and more looks at, oh, well, what did Peter do in this time where this could have been the suit influencing him and he just doesn't know it, or what sort of thing is happening? And that sort of builds into what Mysterio is up to, because Mysterio is at this point trying to make a bit of a comeback. He's been, you know, he's been fouled up one too many times, and you know, he's planning something big. So he plans a bank heist in this issue, which, you know, inevitably goes wrong. And, you know, he takes out the security guard who goes rogue, but the security guard actually kills a teller because of Mysterio's manipulations. And so Mysterio is kind of like hiding out. He's laying low because of this murder. And, you know, you get some stuff with Peter and Felicia, which I guess they were kind of hanging out at this point in time. I don't remember that myself. I didn't read much of Spider-Man from this time period, so that's a little beyond me. But you get some more of them hanging out together. And, you know, Mysterio is trying to figure out what to do next after the bank teller job went awry, because he's like, maybe I'm not a hero. Maybe I should just give up this whole life of crime. Maybe I should do something differently. And it's at that point that Spider-Man finds him. And this is where you really start to see the symbiote Spider-Man come out, because he beats the ever-loving shit out of him. And,
ouch.
You know, no. Peter lays into him, and he's flat out saying, like, you know, what is he? Peter actually backs up. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, he literally says, I'm sorry to Mysterio for beating him up so much. And one thing that comes out, actually, is when the heist happens, you know, Mysterio picks out this one particular bank teller to get him into the vault. And she's the one who, of course, ends up dying. She's the only one who is conscious, because he uses a knockout gas to get everybody out of the picture. And then Mysterio decides to fuck with Spider-Man by telling him that it was his sister and it was an accident. And he then proceeds to, you know, it catches Spider-Man off guard. And then he detonates some explosives in his hideout and vanishes. And it's just, it's really fucking crazy, but it's, I might not be doing it justice, but it's really good, because basically what that does is now Peter is filled with this hard-on for revenge, and he's going to go after Mysterio with both barrels while under the influence of the symbiote suit. Now, it's a really, it's kind of a niche period of Spider-Man history. You know, like I said, I'm not a huge Spider-Man guy, so I didn't read any of what came after Secret Wars. So I don't know how much coverage there was leading up through, you know, after Secret Wars into the reveal of, oh, by the way, this alien suit is influencing his mind and controlling his emotions. I don't know how much of that there was in the original Spider-Man series, but look, Peter David knows how to write Spider-Man. He writes him authentically. He writes him with bad, witty, corny one-liners, and he writes him, you know, where he's at these emotional highs and he's hot and he just wants to beat the shit out of somebody. And
is
to be quite honest,
the guy who wrote that Gwen Stacy had two kids by Norman Osborn?
No, that was J. Michael Straczynski who did that. JMS. Oh, okay. All yeah, right. Peter David. Most recently, he did the most recent runs of Spider-Man 2099 that were on shelves for the last few years. And before that, he did X Factor, where he reimagined him as a private investigations firm. That was all Peter David as well. So, but suffice to say, I really, really dug it. The only thing got to muscle through is some of the Greg Land artwork, because even though, in my estimation, he has greatly improved, there's still moments, and in particular, you know, 80 something year old Aunt May doesn't come out looking the best in the series. You know, she looks like Greg Land doesn't want to draw old people, and he's acting out because of it. So, you know, take from that. Unfortunately, that's a reality. If you like the series, you're going to have to live with, but, you know, that being said, It's a fun issue. I actually really dig it. And if you like Spider-Man, if you're interested in that period of his character, and if you like Mysterio, because Mysterio gets decent, he seems to be the dedicated villain for whatever the run of this arc is going to be. And you know, if you're into that in period of time, it's interesting and it's fun. And like I said, Peter David knows how to write Spider-Man, so it works. Honestly, I give it a 3 out of 5. If you miss it, no big deal. But if you're interested at all, I would strongly recommend that you check it out, because it's worth a read if you're a deep Spider-Man fan and you like that period of his character. So, Anyway, that is going to do it for us here at the Mighty Warriors 3 for this particular installment. Then, like I said earlier at the top of the show, the next time you see us, we'll be talking about Avengers Endgame. So that yes. should be, yeah, it's almost here, 26th. So we'll be recording that following Monday. We'll have the episode out before the end of the week, provided everything goes right. So that being said, in the meantime, we have some responsibilities, some duties that we owe you people. So we're going to tell you how you can find us, because it's not stalking if it's on the internet. Right? we are over on the Facebook. That's the best way for you to reach us. We're at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast page. We are a news aggregate, which means we take from all places and give you a single stream of solid news stuff. Tasia's been contributing some artwork and some funny stuff as well. So, yay. You know, it's a good time.
I
like
do
us
nice
over
things.
There. Yes, indeed. Yes, you do. You publish things like a big boy, don't you?
Yay. I eat popcorn.
So like our page and follow us there. You'll also get updates to when the new episodes come out. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. We are still updating there for the time being. I've subscribed to us there, so I'll let you know if that stops being the case. But you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and if you're over there, hey, give us a star rating and maybe leave a kind review. It would really help us out and really appreciate it. Alternatively, you can find our complete episode archive at thewarriors3.wordpress.com. That has our complete episode archive dating all the way back to the beginning. So if you want to hear us back when we were high, squeaky voice, pimply freaks, you know, mostly just me, Taser would have still been probably about 50, you know, you can find us and even listen to some members who are no longer with us. Not that they died, but they're just not on the show anymore. So there's that. And finally, for me, you can follow me over on Twitter at NoMrPowers. That's at NO_MR_POWERS. Taser, is there anything you would like to plug? He asked, obviously setting him up for something.
Hi-yo! No, nothing that I'd like to plug. I'd just like to say that apparently... the last show, you know, a lot of people caught on. I don't know if it's because of the Captain Marvel review or because I kind of figured out how to do better ads under Facebook. But the last show caught on, you know.
Yeah.
And that's with even the home market, because, you know, people here in the States weren't giving us too much love. We most of it was coming from our friends down in Mexico, you know. But
we're big with the Mexicans.
Yes,
don't you know?
Si, gracias. But you know, that being said, you know, like I said, the last show on both fronts is, you know, doing pretty good, and you know, the Captain Marvel thing's doing good. So, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for the likes and the loves and the smiles. One person actually, one of the ones from Mexico actually told us that. He locked our page. I don't remember whose name you, your name, sir, but it was a sir, and thank you, and I thanked him on the thing for it. But if you enjoy, thank you. If you know somebody who would probably enjoy, pass it along. And if you hear anything that you might disagree with or like or whatever, comment. You know, we will, you know, address you as the proper individual that you happen to be. We don't discriminate between male or females or color or anything else like that. And yeah, glad you're here. You know, hope you stick around.
We love you, fans of the Mighty Warriors, the Marvel Podcast. But until next time, I'm Bri Bri. That's Taser. That was John John. And Benny Boy will be with us.
Yeah, he's still running from ICE agents.
Well, wild government employees won't be able to keep him away for Endgame.
So. Endgame. Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir. So you better believe we will have a full house and we will be ready to talk. That will probably be the 3-hour podcast with no intermission. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, folks, in the words of our glorious leader, remember to stay marvelous, and we'll see you next week, or rather in 2 weeks, for the end game.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's gone right to my head. my head. Wherever I may roam, on land or sea or foam, you can always hear me singing this